a month lately. They say it's mysterious because these crafts exceed the Navy's aircraft speed. A former Pentagon official says the problem's been that some Navy pilots have been afraid to report their sightings, fearing they might hurt their careers, so many haven't been doing so. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be interviewing Jeff Shapiro, a mortgage loan officer with PNC Bank. Jeff will share with you his insights on the current state of affairs in lending. And if you plan to buy a home in the next 6 to 12 months, this could be the most important show you listen to all year. It's Thursday, April 25th, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, as well as your own personal finances here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we check the weather. Currently 60 degrees at 12:05, and today it'll be cloudy with a slight chance of a rain shower during the day with a high of 67 and a low of 51. Scattered thunderstorms could develop overnight. For tomorrow, it'll be a wet one. Thunderstorms followed by rain early with a high of 68 and a low of 47. Thunderstorms will return in the evening. For Saturday, we'll have partly cloudy skies with a high of 62 and a low of 45. And for Sunday, it'll be cloudy with showers, a high of 67 and a low of 40. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 101.26 to 26,495.71. The NASDAQ up 32.41 to 8,134.43. S&P 500 is up 5.11 to 2,932.36. Oil is down 9 cents to $65.81 per barrel. Gold up 90 cents to $1,280.30 an ounce. All right, well, I want to welcome everybody to the program. It is Thursday. It's a little after noon o'clock, and that means it's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. And a special guest with us in the studio today, Jeff Shapiro from PNC Bank. We'll introduce him in just a minute. If you're listening to the program right now, chances are you're near a computer on your mobile device. We'd ask that you open up the Facebook page for the show, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. Like and follow that page, and then you can watch the video of the broadcast as well. The Business Quote of the Week is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. This week it comes to us from Will Rogers, who said, "Too many people spend money they earned to buy things they don't want to impress people that they don't like." Truer words may never have been spoken. Breaking news today, Joe Biden has entered the race for president in 2020 as a Democrat. That makes him the 20th candidate on the Democratic side. A Monmouth University poll shows that Biden already is the front runner at 27% with an 8% lead over Donald Trump. Well, as mentioned, my guest today is Jeff Shapiro. He's a mortgage loan officer at PNC Bank, and he's here today to talk about mortgage lending. So if you're thinking of buying a home, obviously we'll have his contact information throughout the program. You're going to want to give him a call. And it's never too early to start that process, whether you're looking to buy immediately or thinking about it a year or two down the road. You want to have somebody on your side who's coaching you along the way. Jeff is the previous owner of Source Mortgage and Somerset Financial Mortgage in Somerville. Before closing those down due to the global economic collapse in 2008 and 9. He did love it until then. He worked at Weichert Financial Mortgage until 2017, and then he came to PNC where he absolutely loves it there. Jeff, welcome to Taking Care of Business. No problem.
How are you doing?
We're going to need a different microphone for you because for some reason I'm not picking anything up. Can you try that one?
Hello. Good morning, Jim.
Morning. I'm not sure what's going on here. Keep trying.
Testing 1, 2. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, let's try that one over there. Right, play musical around. Chairs. All right. Hold, try it again. One more time. There. One of them is working.
One of those is working?
Yeah. Let's try that again.
Testing.
Try that.
Hello.
There you go. Oh. Okay. Sorry about that. They give me too many buttons.
A lot of microphones here.
Yep. All right. So very good. So now we've.
Congratulations on your grandchild.
Oh, thank you. All exciting time for me as well. So again, welcome to the program. I apologize for those technical problems. They've mixed a few buttons up here on me. They do that to me every now and then. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, how you got into mortgage lending in the first place, and what, you know, we'll get into more about what the market's doing and the future of mortgage lending.
Well, when I graduated from Fairleigh Dickinson in Madison years and years ago, I always wanted to be a journalist, and then I figured out you can't really make a great living doing that, and I liked writing. I liked communicating. So naturally, I went into insurance sales, which has nothing to do with either one of those things. But I enjoyed dealing with the public, and I enjoyed interacting, and I enjoyed the whole sales aspect of intermingling and commingling and enjoyed what I sold. But then I went to a little gathering down at Rutgers. My girlfriend at the time, her friend's boyfriend, and his brother was there, and they were mortgage reps. And we compared notes, and we did the same amount of units, and he made twice or, I think, four times as much as I did. And I said, I want to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I got into it. Ended up working for a place called First Performance Mortgage, which was First Federal of Rochester, New York. They were based out of Morris Plains, New Jersey at the time. And the subsidiary changed their name to HWD Funding. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And we did really anything that was nailed down to the ground in New Jersey. We did a mortgage on it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of NAGAM, a lot of no doc, a lot of et cetera, things like that. And basically, if you had a pulse back then, you can get a mortgage as long as you put enough money down and had the credit to do it. And after about a year went by, they changed the whole thing to a Fannie Mae type of shop, which means that basically they had to start accounting for their underwriting guidelines. And 50 people out of 51 left. I was one of them. And then I found out a year later, HWD stood for hardworking dollars, which was pretty corny, but it didn't really matter. We were doing a lot of deals, and then we kind of went from there. And I was kind of hooked in the mortgage business, and a lot of changes, and 30 years later, here I am.
Very good. So in that span, you've probably seen a lot of changes in the mortgage industry, like you mentioned, with no docs and things, subprime mortgages that were very popular and helped create the collapse of 2008 and 2009. Is it easier to qualify for a mortgage since that change of 2008 and 2009, or are things better now, or would you say it's actually harder?
Well, no, they're better now. Back in 2008 and 2009, you really had no guidance, especially as a small banker broker like I was back in the day, and loving it until they told us to drive on the other side of the street one day. Everybody ran into each other, and we couldn't close any deals in 2008 and 2009. But it couldn't have gotten much worse than then.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, to answer your question, just because we're here and talking about it today and there's mortgages on the street, things are better. They're not perfect. Things take a lot longer. Ever since the collapse, closing a mortgage got about 30-something percent more expensive to close because of the amount of documentation and regulation and oversight. So to answer your question, yes, things are easier, but they couldn't have been that much worse. I personally think we were pretty close to global annihilation back then, but that's just my opinion.
Now, I'm noticing in my neighborhood, for instance, I've been in my house for 25 years. The value of my home has tripled in that time, so good for me. But I wonder, if I was 25 years younger, would I qualify for a mortgage? Are people taking out first, second, and thirds, or is it that salaries have kept up, or you have dual incomes and they can qualify for more? How are the young couples affording houses today?
What we're finding really, Jim, is that people, you know, I was told, and I think this is true, that we have never come out of a recession without the force of first-time home buyers entering the market in force. We haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
All we see is, you know, pockets. We are getting a number of first-time home buyers, but they're scared. These are millennials, Gen Xers. These are people, you know, kids that we've had that are in our basements who don't want to go out and buy a house.
Right. And I'm hearing that a lot more, where renting's okay, even leasing cars. They don't want to get tied down, you know, to anything that involves ownership. So who then are buying the house? Is it people that are upgrading their current situation, downsizing? What do you see happening in the market?
Well, I run around with a flag, and I personally thank every one of millennial buyers that buy homes, because they should be buying homes. And every generation, the millennial, you know, the younger generation has been in force and a strong force in the home market and the lending market. It's a healthy thing. But now we're finding that a lot of the dual income, you know, kids or the younger, you know, the younger citizens that are buying houses these days, we'll call them, are basically very scared to do that. And they want everything turnkey. They mm-hmm. don't want to be like we were when we were kids. We'll get out there at nighttime and weekends with the hammer and the saw and, you know, and improve the properties. A lot of these first-time home buyers today, they want life experiences. They don't want to collect expensive cars, expensive payments, and expensive houses. They mm-hmm. don't want the McMansions like we did. They don't want the urban housing developments that we wanted. They want downtown. They want convenience. So it's a different thing that we're finding. It's very interesting to me. And, you know, in a way, I completely understand it. And in a way, I can almost feel like, you know, I'm now reinvented into being a millennial with their train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because, honestly, we wasted a lot of time and energy, you know, heating and air conditioning, big houses and paying big taxes and being far away. And, you know, everything was a trip in the car.
Right.
Nowadays, you know, the millennials want everything turnkey. They want granite. They want, you know, nice moldings. They want everything done. They don't want to have to pound a nail. And they want to have their lattes, and they want to go see their bands, and they want to, you know, have a trip, you know, do life experiences, cruise around the world. So we're looking for more and more of those. PNC happens to have fantastic programs that really entices that type of borrower that we could probably get into in a little bit. But in general, to answer your question, we need more of them, and what we're finding is a lot of downsizing, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
We're finding a lot of people who have the, you know, the McMansions that the kids are gone.
Right.
And, you know, they're not gone. They're in the basement. But guess what? The parents are moving to Florida, so the kids can't stay in the basement anymore. So,
and I'm seeing that in my neighborhood where, mm-hmm. You know, we all bought our houses 25 years ago as part of a development. The kids are all grown, getting married, having kids. I know of about five families that are moving out. Have already told me, you know, next year they're out. One is moving next week to Florida. So it seems like, and talking with realtor friends of mine, it seems like not that there's a glut, but their houses are selling, and it seems like the process is moving quicker. You know, you have a nice house, and I'm seeing for sale on Monday, sold on Sunday. You know, is this a trend, or is this tracking with what you're seeing?
If your house is the thing is, what I'm finding is, even if your house is on the higher end of the ability to comp it or appraise it for that value,
mm-hmm.
if that house is turnkey and it's priced between 300 and 400 or whatever, 250 to 350, or, you know, in that strike zone, so mm-hmm. to speak, then if it's priced right, you're going to have multiple offers. It's going to be gone on a weekend.
Yep.
That's just the way it is. Because, as I said, there's a lot of houses out there that have not been improved. They haven't been, cosmetically updated. And they will sit, especially if they're not priced right. So you're right. But the ones that haven't been, they're not priced right. They're priced on the higher end, and they need work. They're going to sit just because of the reasons that I just said.
Very good. All right, we're talking with Jeff Shapiro from PNC Bank. He's a mortgage loan officer there. We're up on our first break. When we come back, we have more questions for him on mortgage lending and what's going on in the market presently. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail personnel is your staffing solution. located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all mine, taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you and in the studio today, but hiding a little off camera is Jeff Shapiro. There he goes. Jeff is a mortgage loan officer with PNC Bank. I've known Jeff pretty much all my life. And so we got reconnected recently through PNC Bank and glad to see he's doing well. And I wanted to come back to a topic that we were touching on just before the break, and that was the homes that are selling. And you had mentioned the range, a hot property might be between $250,000 and $400,000. And I was wondering, are those homes out there and are they, as you mentioned, turnkey, ready to go? And during the break, you mentioned it seemed like there were plenty of them out there.
Well, there's not plenty of them. There are some.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say one out of four, one out of five, maybe if we're lucky, the people who have improved their properties are selling them like hotcakes.
Okay. I mean, my cousin has a house that was, it had been foreclosed on, and just as an investment property, I was looking at it, and it had like the old pink bathrooms from the 1950s, and it was like you knew you've easily got $100,000, you know, to get it there, and more than likely the comps wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't be able to do anything with it when it was done. So that's not what we're calling turnkey. Turnkey to you is basically vanilla box, you're ready to move it in, you got all the amenities you need, yep. And they're ready to go.
Well, kitchens and baths sell homes. That's the way it is usually. The kitchens especially. So a kitchen, a gut job, is going to cost you anywhere from 20 up.
Mm-hmm.
Bathroom, 7 to 10,000 a pop, right? People are scared. They don't want to do that stuff. I've been through so many renovations, I could see right through that myself, but I'm not a millennial.
Right.
You know, they just don't have, first of all. And the other thing, honestly, is this. There are quite a few of them. And the other thing I was going to mention also is that they want them on the train line.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's on the train line now, this is, you know, people, the millennials and the Xers, they're basically looking for convenience.
Right. And it seems like the young kids that I talked to over the last couple of years, it was, I'm moving to Hoboken, you know.
Yeah.
And they had everything they wanted there. And now we're starting to see the resurgence of a town like Somerville.
Yeah.
Where you have the train line, the apartments are coming in, and like you said, they don't have to necessarily buy, but they have what they're looking for. So when we talk about a mortgage, obviously one thing that people worry about is what are the current rates?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they? Do you see them inching forward? The Fed's always playing with the numbers. I think we had 4 increases last year. They're talking that things may remain steady this year. So what do you see as far as the next 6 to 12 months as far as mortgage rates and where are they at now on a 30-year fix, and where do you see them going?
Well, the one thing about rates is that they're very misunderstood. The biggest market in the world is the bond market, and it's the redheaded stepchild, really. People don't get excited about the bond market. It's not like the stock market where it's a lot of volatility, et cetera. We're trading fixed income securities, and it's boring. We watch the 10-year Treasury bond. That's the thing that's the indicator, the bellwether, so to speak, for the fixed-rate mortgages, and that's our barometer. And last year it went way over 3, I believe. I forgot the exact timing. Now it's down to 258, let's say. And the thing about the bond market is it's the genius of all markets. It already has forecasted everything that will and is going to happen, such as Fed increases or not increases. It's digested the probability of it 16 times before it even happens. Then when it happens, it's a non-event. That's just one factor of many that go into the bond market, including global markets, equities, global fixed income markets, et cetera. So I've been pretty good at forecasting where rates are going, not in the next day or two, but in general, over the last, say, 15 years. And my opinion is they're going to be pretty flat to on an upward trend. Over the last 3-4 years, everyone's saying, you know, or was saying that they're going to go up every single year. And every single year I said, no, they're not. They're going to come down. And they looked at me like I had 3 heads.
Right.
But the bottom line is, if you look at it, there's, in my opinion, you know, and this is strictly my opinion, we still have a lot of unrest socially, economically, politically, globally. So in my opinion, they're going to stay pretty flat to where they are. And when there is a flight to quality, meaning that there's heightened social unrest or anything like that in the world, everyone flights to safety in the U.S. bond market. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps it strong. And that's what keeps rates low. And unfortunately, in my opinion, that's also what keeps people away from buying houses, because people think that the rates are going to stay low forever.
Right.
And that's what's really been happening. It's kind of anemic.
Very good. How does that affect home sales? You know, is it something where rates go up, sales go down, or is it the fear factor where once people see it trending up, they just say, well, that's going to push me out. I'll have to wait till the next go around.
Well, I mean, if you're that thin on, I mean, basically a quick rule of thumb is every $1,000 of borrowing costs you $5 per month. So if you're borrowing $100,000, roughly it's $500 per month. $200 would be $1,000. That's principal and interest, not including taxes, insurance, and or PMI if you put less than 20% down. So that's kind of a general factor. If you're looking at a house and you're maxed out buying something at $200,000 or $300,000, and if it goes to $320 from $300, and that's going to scare you, you shouldn't be buying a house, because it's a $25 payment. Honestly, and that's how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. You really shouldn't be cutting yourself that thin. But if you're feeling, rates are extremely important. Believe me, everyone shops rates. They call me all the time. Jeff, what's your rate? And I say, I've been answering that question for 30 years, right? Back in the old days, I said, you know, I had 22 loan reps working for me. And they finally got upset and said, Jeff, I can't compete anymore. The internet companies, all this stuff. And I said, all right, let's try it this way. When the next guy calls up and asks what your rate is, ask him if you want the 30-year fixed rate that pays off in 30 years or in 22 years. And it kind of shakes him up a little bit and, you know, that type of thing. We had a couple different things like that to answer. The bottom line is rates are super low. And will they remain? No. Do they seem to be remaining? Yes. Is there a sense of urgency to go out and buy a house because rates are going up? No. In my opinion, when rates go up 2%, we're going to have more first-time home buyers than we could know what to do with. That's just what happens. That's just the way it is. But for 10 years, rates have been low.
Good. You mentioned the down payment, and you mentioned PMI.
Yep.
So there's different mentalities towards buying a home. There's the no money down, very rare. There's the 10% down, and then there's the 20% down. So do you need a lot of money for a down payment, or what are you seeing as far as what the average customer is coming to you saying, this is what we have?
We're finding, I'm finding,
A lot of first-time home buyers have money saved up, 20%.
Mm-hmm.
If not, they have close to it, and they're getting a gift from mom or dad. I find that a lot of times we don't need that, and I like to tell them what the options are. Now, the programs exist where you can do, for instance, in Hunterdon County, you can do a USDA loan on any property, single family, condo, et cetera, in Hunterdon County with nothing down,
okay.
Zero, not a penny. What does that mean? Do we give loans to people who don't qualify for it? No. What we do is we still ask them, what's their income? What's their credit? All this other good stuff. But what happened that got us into this position in 08, 09, and 07 is basically we forgot to ask those questions. Do you qualify?
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of a big mistake. So basically what we're doing now is, you know, we're doing loans that make sense. Are we asking too many questions? Probably. Are we asking, is there a lot of back office stuff, a lot of, you know, checks and balances and stuff that we never used to have to deal with? Yes. But if you qualify, you qualify, you qualify, and it's worth it. And also, if you have, if you're not in, you know, a USDA qualified area, then we have 3% down. And that's through Fannie and Freddie, not through FHA. So okay. That's regular channels, regular conventional lending. 30-year fixed with reduced PMI. And now that you mention it, Jim, we have probably the best first-time home buyer program in the state, where the whole state is qualified to, if you make less than 80% of median income, which is about $100,000 in Hunterdon County.
Right.
So if you make less than $80,000 a year, you get a half a point off our already great rates, plus we give you a grant of $1,500.
Sure.
That's just a free grant, non-recourse.
Is any part of the mortgage process on the part of the borrower negotiable? You know, you see sometimes in the house selling and buying where if it was 3% to the listing broker, 3% to the selling, sometimes the seller will say, well, I'll do it at 2.5% for both sides or something like that. Is there any part of the mortgage process that's negotiable to the benefit of the borrower?
Like a realtor commission.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, bottom line is this, whether it was my own company or you're going to B of A or you're going to TD or Chase or PNC, it doesn't matter. We're selling these loans off, whether we admit it or not, mm-hmm. for the most part. A lot of times we'll hold on to the servicing. When we sell to Fannie and Freddie, you'll never open up your mail and say, here is a letter from Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac requesting your payment per month. It's not happening. Fannie and Freddie don't service. So the coupon will be sold possibly to Fannie or Freddie, the biggest, largest secondary markets in the country. However, the servicing will remain with somebody else, whether it's PNC or a subservicer or whoever originated the loan. They could sell servicing separately. They could keep servicing, and they sell the coupons or keep the coupons. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole secondary market that's really unknown, mm-hmm. and you know, it's a whole world out there that's not really part of my world,
right.
but I'm familiar with it only because I'm in the industry, but I'm on the front end. I'm in the trenches.
Very good. We're talking with Jeff Shapiro from PNC Bank, a mortgage loan specialist there. We got plenty more questions for him after the news break. And so stay listening. And if you're thinking of buying a home in the next year or two, you're going to want to pay attention because I'm going to have Jeff lay out for you what you should be doing now to get your finances in order then. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former Vice President Joe Biden making it official this morning that he is running for the White House in 2020. And within minutes of making his announcement in a video posted to Twitter as well as online, some endorsements started rolling in from Democratic politicians, though the president he served with has not been among them. Barack Obama not saying anything about Biden's announcement, but Biden claims that there's a reason for that.
I asked President Obama not to endorse, and he doesn't want to. Whoever wins this nomination should win it on their own merits.
The parents accused of murdering their 5-year-old son, Andrew A.J. Friend, in a Chicago suburb are each being held on $5 million bond after a court appearance today where prosecutors wanted the two held on $10 million bond. The boy's body was found yesterday in a shallow grave. This is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
Restore your vehicle's lost power by cleaning your entire fuel system with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Right now, buy one bottle, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Keep your engine clean and improve performance with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Buy one, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And I've been taking care of business.
You're listening and taking care of business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you. So glad you could join me on this Thursday as we have a guest in the studio, Jeff Shapiro, a mortgage loan officer at PNC Bank. And welcome back to the program, Jeff. Wanted to talk to you a little bit, if you can lay out the different levels of loan. I know there was the conventional loan, and then there used to be a term jumbo loan. So if you can just lay out the levels for people of what they'd be qualifying for.
Yeah. So, for instance, the conventional loan is any loan amount up to $485,000, somewhere around there. Anything over that is considered a jumbo loan. And typically, jumbo loans aren't for sale or saleable to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, the agencies that buy the most paper in the country. And so typically, up until very recently, jumbo loans were priced higher because they don't have the secondary saleability of conventional conforming loans. That's really the nuts and bolts of them. Recently, however, that's kind of inverted. I've noticed that our rates at PNC are much better now with jumbos than they are with conventionals.
Okay. Very good. So where do you find the sweet spot for borrowing for people? You know, is it a dollar amount? Is it a percentage of income? What do you tell people, like, this is where you're comfortable with them?
So typically, rule of thumb is the old ratios were 28-36, and that was the front and the back ratio. The front is the income ratio, and that's how old I am. Back in way back when, they were 28%. So no more than 28% of your gross monthly income can go towards pity payment, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Add on all other debts, car loans, student loans, personal loans, et cetera, no more than 36%. Those ratios are out the window.
Okay.
So now basically Fannie Freddie guidelines are 45% debt-to-income ratio, also your income ratio. So your income can be 45 debt to income of your gross and also the debt ratio. We can go higher than that. I've seen a lot of files now going to 49.999%. And we also have some other files under certain programs that can go even higher than that. So basically, rule of thumb, no more than half of your gross income can go towards principal, interest, taxes. We'll call that housing debt plus all other monthly debt.
Okay. Very good. I mentioned in the preview to the show, and when I was promoting the show last night, I got a lot of responses from people saying that they were interested in listening to the program. And one person had emailed me this morning asking me to ask you, they're looking in the next year, they're going to be, A, selling their house and then buying one. I want to ask the question in two ways. The first would be, if you're a first-time home buyer, what do you need to do to get kind of your house in order to qualify for a mortgage, whether that's your credit score or debt or any, you know, dings on your reports? And then if you are, you know, an existing homeowner, there'll be a sale, hopefully there'll be a profit. Do you have to follow the same, you know, rules in order to qualify?
Okay, multi-layered question.
Yep.
So
now you feel like the President of the United States. You get seven questions, you have to remember all of them.
And not only that, I only have to answer, like, one of them.
Right. Truthfully.
Truthfully. Right. All right. So bottom line is this. A couple ways to handle this question. One is, which comes first, the cart or the horse, right? So you're selling a house. How many people have enough money to buy a home? How many people have enough income to qualify for two mortgages if they don't have enough income to buy, or cash rather, to buy a home cash?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it becomes a bridge loan scenario. You're bridging the sale to the buy. So how do you do that? Multiple number of ways. One is you could put minimal down on the next house, as long as you have the income to qualify. In the old days, you didn't have to qualify if you had a sales contract on the departing house. Nowadays, guess what? You do. That's what's changed, things like that. So the bottom line is you need to qualify for both, regardless of whether it's 3 months after you buy the new one or a day, unless you close prior to or simultaneously. Now, the other question is this. On the hot houses, on the houses that go in 2 seconds, which we discussed earlier, the improved millennial homes, we'll say, the ones with multiple offers, guess which offer they're going to take? They're going to take a cash offer.
Okay.
Or they're going to take an offer that's not contingent on the sale of your existing home. So what do? You call me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll help you figure it out. There's not one direct answer, honestly, to answer that question.
Okay.
Every scenario is different.
But it kind of goes without saying that your credit score has to be good.
Without saying.
You can't be delinquent, you know, for a certain period of time. You have to, you know, show people that, yeah, you can pay your bills and you're not falling behind.
No matter what, pay your bills, have strong credit. If, you know, and I can kind of anticipate the next question. What do? In advance, if you weren't going to ask me, I'll ask you to ask me, Jim. What do you do in advance? What do people do to make sure they're in good shape? Maybe they're not buying a house for 6 months, a year, you know, year and a half, 2 years. It's never too early.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to fall in love with a house and then figure out later you can't afford it or something went wrong.
Right.
So the earlier the better. It's never too early.
And it's something that it's almost common sense today with the number of different data breaches and now how credit card companies and credit agencies are offering you a free report to pull your credit report and just see, is there something out there? Because what I found buying our first condo, there were things on my credit report I knew nothing about. And then all of a sudden I'm spending weeks, you know, trying to get this stuff cleared up. And it wasn't any fault of mine or my wife's. It was just things that were there. And because my father and I shared the same name, they would just blanket both reports. So he took out a loan. I never took out a loan, but it ended up on my report, and it was threatening my ability to qualify. So it's a good idea to pull your Equifax TransUnion report and make sure that everything is clean there. You touched on something before, and that is, and what I'm seeing both in my neighborhood and my town, is that properties are moving quickly. And you said a sentence that I wanted to revisit, and that was, you have to be prepared to buy hot. What did you mean by that?
What I mean is that if you love a house isn't something that it doesn't always make sense. The hot button really isn't the amount of bedrooms or the amount of bathrooms, or it's a feeling. This is where you're going to live your life. You have to see yourself in this box or in this house for the rest of your life. You have to see yourself. So it's not as you know, when realtors say it checks all the boxes, it's got to check the emotional box.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing about real estate, especially, you know, obviously owner-occupied residences where you're going to live.
Yep.
So it's got to feel right. And once it feels right, people oftentimes don't sweat the small stuff. They don't sweat, I'm going to pay $3,000 more than this, or I'm not going to get the dishwasher.
Right.
You know, or whatever. They see themselves making it happen. And when that emotional attachment happens, then that's when the light goes off. And that's what makes the heart skip a beat, and that's what people should be ready for. And you never know. It's like when you're dating somebody. Do you know when you're going to fall in love with somebody? Do you know when you're going to like somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Or you know when your heart's going to skip a beat? You don't. Are you ready for it usually? Sometimes the timing's not right. All I'm saying is make sure that you have the option, if you want it, to be able to get it quickly.
Right. And you gave the example during the one break where a house was listed in Summit at $699, and if you'd share the sale number, because that's what's not, it's not bothering, but it's amazing me that realtors are doing their due diligence. They're coming up with what they're considering fair market value, and then these bidding wars start. So it's amazing me that people are, A, willing to spend more, and then sometimes a lot more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you may be listening to me right now. I won't tell you who my friends are, but they, you know, friends of mine, they looked at a house. in Summit, and it went for $6.99. It was listed for this. Forgive me if I'm off a couple dollars if you're listening, but it listed for $6.99. It's a beautiful house. Don't get me wrong. Gorgeous house. It was worth more than $6.99. Everyone knows it, but that's the way it was priced, and that's the way it was intentionally priced in that market. Summit's a hot market. Mm-hmm. It's on the train line. Everyone wants it. It's minutes from the city. You know, it's a hot area. So I think a week later, final and best. Our people, my friends, went in at 801. 100,000 more, 102,000 more. I said, well, yeah, that ought to do it. Not even close.
Jeez.
I think close to 900,000.
That's amazing.
Beautiful house.
Yep. And it's amazing house. That, you know, people, both the buyer, the seller, the realtor, not that they allow it to happen. You know, you're not, if I go to Steve Califer to buy a car and it says $35,000, that's what I'm expecting to pay. I'm not expecting to get into a bidding war and offer 45. You know.
Well, that is a very unique market.
Yep.
up in that area on that train line there. That's the way every single house I've ever had the opportunity to do a pre-qual on has gone the same exact way up there, every one of them.
Let's talk about the foreclosure gap for a minute. Back in 2008-09, foreclosures were going through the roof. It seemed like there was one or two on every block. At one point, I think Bank of America owned 26% of the real estate they held mortgages on. Is the problem going away? Has it gone away? Has that number come way down? And is it manageable? Or are we still seeing people that are getting stretched and for some reason or other, you know, get foreclosed on?
We're at the tail end. We haven't seen it in the waves that we've seen it before. But then again, it was monumental. I mean, countries went out of business because of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, it was a global annihilation. So we won't. We're not coming close to that. We're at the tail end, but do they exist? Yeah, we're still seeing a lot of residuals, a lot of people who thought they could hang on to the end, a lot of people who have just been crushed, and people who have lost 10 years of their lives or more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people forget that stuff. That's why I think people are very reticent. My kids, for instance, they've never seen the price of a house go up,
right,
in their opinion. Would they rather spend $2,000 on a 600 square foot apartment? Yeah, you know, and that's, yep, why they're building them everywhere.
Yep.
So to answer your question, I think we still got a ways to go. We're at the tail end, but can it repeat? In my opinion, I don't think so, because, you know, we're making people qualify now. That's the difference.
So the checks and balances that came in after 2008 and 2009 are going to prevent that,
yes,
from happening.
Good. Overprotect.
Excellent.
Overprotect.
Very good. I did want to talk about that. We'll get into that after the break,
yeah,
about why it took so long for the industry to get to that level. So we'll let you prepare for that. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, more with Jeff Shapiro from PNC Bank.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, and joining me in studio today is Jeff Shapiro, a mortgage loan officer from PNC Bank. Wanted to give you his contact information in case you have any questions regarding mortgages, and that is his phone number is 908-310-6347, and you can email him at, was it Jeff.Shapiro?
Yes, sir.
Jeff.Shapiro@PNC.com. When I post the link to the program later on the Facebook page, I'll have his contact information for you as well. So, Jeff, before the break, we were talking about 2008, 2009. It was highlighted in the movie The Big Short. And we talked about how, as a result of all that, with subprime lending and things like that, the industry as a whole had a reboot, and regulation was brought in to prevent that from happening again. Can you talk about the regulations that you've seen come through and how they've helped the industry as a whole?
Well, Jim, you're going to have to invite me back, because if you give me 10 hours to answer that, I'm going to need 11.
Okay.
Because I lived The Big Short.
Mm-hmm.
I lived Too Big to Fail. And it's something near and dear to my heart. The way I ran my mortgage company prior to was, if I didn't feel the client had any probability of not repaying the loan, I wouldn't do it, no matter whether they qualified under a program or not. A lot of my peers didn't feel that way. Subprime was king.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of companies were predator lending types, and they did a lot of things that I never would have done.
Well, it's funny, because I was a recruiter at the time, and one of our divisions was banking, and specifically it was subprime. And it was watching those people make placements, it was like if you had a pulse, you had a job. And the territory was massive. It was one of the biggest banks doing this, and it just seemed like they were lending money, putting people homes that you knew had no business being there.
Exactly. It was really almost like a Ponzi scheme. The bottom line was the gates were flooded when the insurance company would rate junk mortgages AAA+, and you can get all kinds of AM Best and all types of other insurance companies to securitize them and to rate them. That way they could sell them to pension funds and governments and things like that. Without that, that couldn't have happened. The bottom line is, we could talk all day about that, and that's probably another day, but okay. I will definitely come back for that one, Jim.
Yep.
But the end result is this. The reaction from the government was to, as usual, in my opinion, to overreact, and therefore, subprime was here for a reason, but it wasn't being governed correctly.
Mm-hmm.
People got 80-20s, which they put 80% first mortgages on, for instance, 20% home equities or second mortgages on. They started at 8 and 10%, and then they went up to 12 and 18%, and they didn't have a shot at paying them at 8 and 10.
Right.
And then they put on negative amortization loans, which are even more a kiss of death, which I did 30 years ago, but they were extremely conservative. They were very, very conservative neg-am loans with 20% down. I've never done a 20% down loan, I shouldn't say never, where someone didn't repay it or have some skin in the game. Once you don't have some skin in the game, guess what? If you have no skin in the game and you pay $150,000 for your house and now it's worth $110,000 and you can't make the payments, guess what you're going to do?
Walk away.
And that's what happened all over the country, and it really pretty much contaminated the whole world. Do we have the ability now to get back into that position? I don't think so, because all the over-regulation. The knee-jerk was to over-regulate, and that really basically said to us what I said before. We still have now, and we didn't for a long time, but now we have back again the no-down or low-down mortgages. But we're going to make sure that, there's a very good probability that you're going to pay it back. Because guess what? We've qualified you this time.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't take your pulse and say we're closing on Tuesday.
Right.
We actually qualified you this time. In fact, overqualified you. But if you make the income, there's plenty of programs out there, and we're back on track, I think, as a lending universe to get things done very quickly, which is, I'm proud to say, we survived it.
Yep. How do you, what would you say, walking through the doors at PNC, what's the placement rate, if you will, of getting people mortgages? Is it pretty much, you know, 1-to-1? Is it 80%? But, you know, is it successful, or are people still in the position where you have no business owning a home?
No, I think most people now have been educated with the internet, with the cell phones, with immediate gratification. And again, back to the millennials, they want it when they want it, when they want it, and they don't want to talk to anyone until they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what they're doing. And I think everyone is an educated consumer now because of that. So people really kind of know-ish what they should be doing. They kind of have guidance. They have parents now that have guided them if they've survived the collapse, et cetera. And now they're, I think, more conservative than ever. So for the most part, the people who are walking in the bank and people that are not walking, that are, you know, my list of clients from previous past and, you know, friends and family, now those people know what's going on for the most part. It's more of an educated universe now. So for that reason alone, I think the health of borrowing and the health of home ownership and stability is back to where at least we have a pretty solid core.
What about if you were to pull out Jeff Shapiro's crystal ball? The state of the industry today, and where do you see it going 3 to 5 years down the road?
Well, politics aside, I think as far as financial, we've kind of pulled through it. It's the longest protracted recession in history, and I think we're still there, in my opinion. But we trickle into more and more stability at all times. So I think we get healthier and healthier, as we have been. And at some point, you know, we got to kick the kids out of the basement. They got to buy something. Mm-hmm. They're going to be tired of renting something. So just by the amount of, you know, apartments out there that are being built and lack of a commitment for and scaredness, you know, intrepidation of not buying a home, people are going to start feeling like, you know, I'm getting a little older and it's time. And I think just because of the demographics of our, you know, of our society at this point, we're going to get healthier and healthier. Do I think it's going to happen, you know, will the faucet just get turned on automatically full bore? No, I don't think so. I think it's a slow recovery, and I think it gets stronger and stronger.
Is it, if you were to look at your 30-year career, is it harder today to get a loan than, say, 20, 30 years ago?
Well,
or is this another program?
Well, 30 years ago, as I said, when I walked into this, if it were attached to ground, we would lend on it.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, when I first walked into it, I mean, I couldn't believe some of the stuff I was doing. You couldn't sell this to Fannie Mae. I was doing wiki-ups, which are like Quonset huts and, you know, geodesic domes and
right.
stuff. I mean, you can't do this stuff with the regular channels today.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't care. So back then, we cared about one thing. How's your credit and how much you're putting down? And for the most part, it tells you a lot about somebody, how you pay your bills. And you know, obviously, we're not going to put down a janitor's making $500,000 a year. That won't fly.
Right.
But, you know, it had to make sense. So from that point on, we kind of used artificial underwriting guidelines that we have today, but in a much broader and more common sense way. Now, unfortunately, common sense doesn't make any difference. It either fits or it doesn't.
Right.
So it's almost like the machinery has taken over. And we're trying to outsmart the machinery or navigate the machinery so it agrees with common sense, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, back then, the underwriter could make overriding decisions. Now the underwriter cannot make overriding decisions. You know, they just can't say, I like this loan, let's do it.
Right.
It doesn't happen because we can't sell the loan. It's not saleable. And everything is dictated by debt-to-income ratios, credit, FICO scores, you know, it's locked down, which I don't like to see.
Right.
It's not a common sense decision anymore. So for the most part, processors, underwriters are data collectors, unfortunately. And that's the part of the business I don't like.
Got it. All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming in today and joining me on the program. I think we've scratched the surface, if you will, and there's a lot more to talk about as it relates to mortgage lending, banking. You have a great team over at PNC with John Paul and Adria, and maybe bring them back with us the next time and talk about all the services that PNC has. If you're interested in mortgage lending, the person to call is Jeff Shapiro. He's at PNC Bank. You can email him at jeff.shapiro@pnc.com or call him at 908-310-6347. And again, I'll have that contact information up on the Facebook page a little later on today. So thanks again for coming in today, Jeff.
Thank you.
I appreciate
very much, Jim, for having me.
Very good. In sports, the NBA and NHL seasons are into the playoffs, and we'll have more as we get closer towards the finals. In NASCAR news this weekend, the teams head to Talladega, Alabama, for the Geico 500, which will be an unrestricted plate race. The action kicks off at 2 p.m. on Fox. Major League Baseball, the regular season, is now underway. In the NFL, the draft will be held this weekend in Nashville, Tennessee. And in other NFL news, the Pittsburgh Steelers have signed Ben Roethlisberger to a two-year extension worth $63 million. On another note, in Major League Baseball, the New York Yankees and in the NHL, the Philadelphia Flyers have banned the playing of God Bless America by Kate Smith. I'll have more on that on next week's program. But I do want to applaud Flemington car dealership owner Steve Califer, who wrote a check for $10,000 to the Philadelphia Flyers, saying that they could present that to any social charity of their liking, in exchange for which he would place the statue of Kate Smith at Somerset Patriots Ballpark. I'm hoping that the Flyers will take him up on that. And I'll have more on Kate Smith and this whole controversy about a song she sang in 1931 and compare what she did for race relations back then versus how she's being treated today. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe it can help you as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. And working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Former VP Joe Biden is racking up some endorsements from prominent Democrats hours after officially announcing he's running for the White House in 2020. Although one person we're not hearing from, former President Barack Obama. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes explains from Washington.
Barack Obama not saying anything about Biden's announcement, but Biden claims that there's a reason for that.
I asked President Obama not to endorse, and he doesn't want to. Whoever wins this nomination should win it on their own merits.
President Trump also took notice of the announcement, tweeting, "Welcome to the race, Sleepy Joe." The parents accused of murdering their 5-year-old son in a Chicago suburb are each being held on $5 million bond. In court on Thursday, prosecutors initially wanted Joanne Cunningham and Andrew Friend Sr. to each be held on $10 million bond. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30. Available on Amazon.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Like, why do I have to pay a full gym membership when I don't even use all the equipment? Like the rowing machine. I don't know about you, but I'm not doing a ton of manual lake travel these days.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
Iran wants to make a deal with the Trump administration, and USA Radio Network's Wendy King has a question they are pondering.
Iran's top diplomat has offered the U.S. government a prisoner swap. Mohammad Javad Zarif told the Asia Society that Iran has yet to receive a response from the Trump administration.
All these people that are in prison, on in